is the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
It's like a very, very thin splattering of clouds.
That you can see out the window.
Barely any. It's like if that was bread on toast.
God, we need to redesign toast, I guess. Studio. Yeah. We need to redesign the studio so this window goes the whole way across so I can see out as well.
Because there are some, but not enough to bring on.
I sound like an idiot. You know, like I sound like an idiot when I say there are no clouds in the sky.
And I'm also, I'm in Christ pointed towards Gungahlin, so I can only tell. I can tell what Sydney's weather is going to be like.
I can see clouds.
You can see clouds?
Yeah,
Josh, tell you where there were no clouds. At Kourtney Kardashian and Travis Barker's engagement. Happened on the beach in Malibu. A bunch of roses, bunch of candles and stuff. He gave her a $1 million engagement ring, which I think is incredibly impressive.
Yes.
It's insane. The ring is huge. But to her, I could imagine it not being... of note.
How much was it worth?
$1 million.
I would, if I was, because he's worth like $50 million, she's worth $70 million, plus also has all the Kardashian family.
Kourtney is worth $70 million. Wealth. The Kardashians are worth $50 billion.
Yeah, I literally probably would play the opposite game with an engagement ring. I'd be like, what's the lead? I'd make it a game.
Yeah.
I'd be like, when you propose to me, what I'm thinking we do is get me something you think I'll still like, and I have to guess how little you were able to spend.
Right, okay. Because
if you're a millionaire, you've already probably got a bunch of nice jewelry.
Exactly.
What do you need that for?
You want a sentimental one.
Let's make, because it's the thought that counts, isn't it?
Yeah.
And for somebody who's going, sort of your normal wage, it's supposed to be 3 months' salary or whatever, and then that shows the dedication. For me, if you go the opposite and spend next to no money on it, that's the thought that counts.
Exactly.
To go and find this. I don't even know where to find cheap jewelry because I'm a millionaire.
What's that in A Star Is Born, how Bradley Cooper makes the ring out of like guitar wire.
Go. Beautiful. Beautiful. Done. Perfect analogy.
After the engagement, they both decided to have a bit of an engagement dinner. I'm guessing one of them knew about it, the other one not so much. That's kind of how engagements work. But afterwards, at this engagement dinner, Travis Barker's son was like, have a look at the menu for this thing. Can you believe it? And a lot of people cannot believe it, but cannot pronounce or understand what anything is.
Ah, fancy food.
Fancy food. Now, I would like you, potentially the most basic eater I know, which is fine. I would like you to attempt, apologies to any Italians, because there is an Italian one, and I think... You are going to try your best.
I will try my best. I'm not going to phone it in.
No
I'm going to try
intended.
My best.
Intended.
I've got these titles of the dishes in front of me.
What I want you to do is read out the one and then guess what it is. Like at its base core.
Okay.
Like if one of them, if you read it out and then you're like, I think this is a sandwich.
Mm.
That would be a good example. So read out the first one the best you can and let's see how you go.
Wiser Farm Honey Nut Squash Valutata.
Yes. What do you think that is? That was pretty good because most of it was Wiser Farm Honey Nut Squash Valutata. You did pretty good. Thank you very much, mate. What do you think that is? If you ordered that, what would you expect?
Keep in mind that I'm the person that gets chicken snitty and chips everywhere I go.
Yes. You get different sizes of chicken snitties.
Sometimes nuggets.
Nuggets.
I call them little snitties.
Sometimes fillets. Sometimes tenders.
Anyway.
Different sizes.
They're long ways nuggets.
What do you think this is?
The Wiser Farm Honey Nut Squash Valutata.
Your Valutata.
I'm going to say squash as like a lemon thing because of squash, lemon squash you can get, and honey nut crunch.
Okay.
Is it some kind of a dessert, like with honey nut crunch and some lemon on the side or something like that? And the tartar, isn't tartar like creamy? So it's like, is that a dessert?
You're thinking of tartare sauce is what you're thinking of, which goes on fish.
I am. Yeah. So that's not what that is?
It's almost impressive how wrong you got everything. But what do you think it is? So you think it's a dessert?
I think it's a dessert with lemon.
It is, in fact, a soup. Of honey nut squash, which is like pumpkin.
Yeah,
lemon squash like Solo.
So what's honey nut crunch?
It's a honey nut squash.
Oh, right, okay. What's the cereal?
There is... You said that. I didn't say that. You said that.
Okay, so honey nut's not always a cereal. Fair enough. Okay.
Go to your next one.
Capellacci alla Mantovana.
I mean, you did say the words.
Capellacci alla Mantovana. Mantovana.
You lost it the second time.
Yeah,
we can't get bogged down because I'm also not Italian, so I'm not going to pretend. What do you think it is?
What do I think it is?
Yeah. So you can't pick apart any words in that other than a la. A la is like this.
Alla pecci.
So it's like,
oh, yes.
A la dente.
Sometimes they say, as grilled or as, yes.
So that's Mentovana. The only word I'll give you.
I'm going to say...
You look like you're about to pop a blood vessel in your eye.
I am. I really am.
This is the hardest I've ever
seen. I'm going to say that this is some kind of... this is some kind of meat dish.
Yes.
With
yes.
With...
Yes. You've got to give me something.
So, I want to say capel. I did Italian in high school. I want to say that it's got like a something on top of it, like a cap.
Are you thinking of a cannoli?
A meat on top of the, the cap. It.
You know what? You're wrong completely.
Yes,
but
okay.
The thing, like the way you said it, it's like tortellini. So like ravioli.
Oh,
it's like pasta ravioli. Yeah. So you're kind of close with the, like a little top.
Mm.
But I think that you thought that because it's a cap, like a hat. And which is so far from the truth.
The best part about all of this is I was so, because we've already pronounced things in Italian quite wrong, I was so worried about offending Italians more. I thought pasta, but I didn't want to go, it's probably pasta. It is pasta?
It is pasta.
Okay, there we go.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
104.7. Big news.
Hmm?
Just need to center myself for a second.
Hot potato, hot potato.
Strange music, but good.
The Wiggles.
Yeah.
Anthony, Murray, Jeff, Greg.
The boys.
Are doing a goddamn, and I can say goddamn because it's an adult-specific arena tour.
God.
In 2022, the original lineup of the Wiggles are going to tour Australia, going to arenas specifically for their now adult fans to go and enjoy.
It is funny that it's like I know the government sometimes doesn't give you what you need. I know sometimes there are so many infrastructures that are put in place to help you enjoy life fall apart. When they do... The Wiggles will still be there for you.
You can go and see the Wiggles live in concert.
Yes.
And I'm, admittedly, love the new Wiggles, love seeing people in the, like kids today in the little outfits. It's fantastic. But this is my Wiggles. These four dudes are my original Wiggles.
Absolutely.
And I get to go see them. I once saw Murray at an IMAX theater and just about lost my mind. And I was like 23.
Yeah.
It was like when The Dark Knight Rises came out. And I think Murray was there with his son. And I was like, I can't say anything, but that's Murray. That's the red Wiggle. Oh, my God.
It is funny because you and I are currently in kind of like a Wiggle sandwich. I think in life, you go through a Wiggle sandwich where you are in the Wiggles audience and you love the Wiggles.
Mm-hmm.
Then you and I are currently in like the middle bit where it's like the Wiggles aren't really for you anymore. Then the top layer, you re-enter the game when you have your own kids and then you're like, oh, I love the Wiggles again.
Discover the new Wiggles,
While we're like in the middle, the meat of the sandwich, the only Wiggles that apply to us are the our Wiggles.
My Wiggles are the Wiggles where if Captain Feathersword was on screen, Anthony wasn't on screen.
Yeah, don't read into that.
Captain Feathersword looked a lot like Anthony.
Yeah.
That's my vintage Wiggles.
They should have stuck with that as well. They should have made Captain Feathersword like Batman, and no one really knew why.
But everyone kind of knew.
Yeah. Everyone was like, Anthony, why do you always leave? And why does Captain Feathersword sound exactly
very strongly
like you?
Against piracy? Just not into it. I have to go off stage when he comes on.
That man sickens me, so I need to get out of here.
Tell you what sickens me.
Yeah.
They're not coming to Canberra.
What?
And I can only blame that the arena's not ready for concerts because they're going to Darwin, Hobart, Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, Brisbane and Adelaide. The fact that Darwin are getting a look in and the fact that Tassie's getting a look in, we would be on that list if the arena was ready to go for concerts.
100%. Honestly, I've been to Hobart. It sucks. It's awful.
I think from what I saw the Foo Fighters at Doing Entertainment Centre, and that was amazing. Yeah. It's like a tiny venue.
Hobart is.
So I will actually defend it there. That is a great venue, but the point is it is small. It's about as small as our arena.
Yeah, it's intimate.
And what the hell are we doing? Because I remember when they started opening the vaccination clinic, people were like, is the building ready? And they're like, it's ready for this. It's not ready to hang stuff from the roof for a concert.
Yeah.
Let's get the roof ready. We've got until February next year. I want night and day construction crews ready to go. And I tell you why. Because at the moment, with how I feel and how everybody feels on planet Earth, imagine how cathartic and amazing it would feel to just watch the Wiggles for 2 hours. Yeah. To just go to a concert and just hear a bit of...
They should do...
Just go back to being a kid for a second. That would be amazing.
I tell you what, the Wiggles have already done enough. So this, I shouldn't put the onus on them at all. But what they should do is like a Beatles style on top of a pub. They should just perform for free on top of Telstra Town.
Oh, that would be amazing. We could all just gather around the bottom.
Sing it louder, we can't hear you. And he's like, yeah, because we're 100 metres in the air.
It would look like we're all trying to worship the Wiggles. But at the moment, if that's the higher power, I'm happy to worship the Wiggles.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Look, there has been an issue over in Singapore. 50th floor apartment has been the scene of an argument between a couple. Apparently,
anything on the 50th floor, the stakes are immediately raised.
Yes, indeed. Unless it's the living on the 50th floor competition, in which case you've won that.
Yeah, you've won that.
That's the stakes very low.
Yeah, exactly right.
You pretty much got it in the bag.
It's the day-to-day for you.
Yeah, no. Very, very disappointing to see the boyfriends cheated on the girlfriend. That's what started the fight.
Yeah, it's not good.
It's not good. But what's happened is, unfortunately, the high ground on the 50th floor from her has been immediately handed over because she started throwing stuff off the balcony.
Super dangerous.
Yeah. So this headline is, woman jailed for throwing kitty litter from 50th floor in CBD after tiff with boyfriend.
I will say, and it's not the same story as we told a couple of weeks ago, but it's kind of a good lesson for life. If someone tells you news and they've done something really bad and you're really angry about it, try to have your reaction be within the law to make sure that you don't become like the lady who she sellied No More Gaps down a notice about someone parking over a driveway or whatever. Don't make the punishment to the crime worse than the crime itself.
Disproportionate response will get you into a lot of trouble. That's what's happened. So the kitty litter off the 50th floor in the CBD, woman jailed for throwing kitty litter from 50th floor in CBD. Is the headline. I clicked on. She also threw a TV, a sound bar, and a bunch of other really heavy stuff.
Yeah. So the kitty litter is honestly a footnote.
Not. It's the thing that, honestly, credit where credit's due, made me click on the article because I was like, how? It's like sand falling from the sky especially and a couple of turds, which birds do carte blanche all the time.
It is a lot denser than a bird turd, I will say that.
Or an albatross or something like that.
Yeah, well, with an albatross, you've really got problems. That's why I think they're mostly out in the ocean. But I, at that height, what's kitty litter? It's kitty litter is just dust.
It's like sand.
It's just dusted it would just be by the time it gets down.
And it would dissipate so much, you'd have to imagine in the 50 floors down.
It'd just smell like pee.
But a soundbar and a television do not.
That lets you know that it's there.
Also, like, look, this is the whole thing here. The guy has said that he wanted to be have restitution paid for the objects that she threw over the balcony.
Okay.
$1,000 was awarded to him.
Pretty cheap soundbar.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. You know that the soundbar and the TV are worth more than that.
Yeah.
Really hope that if something like this ever happens to me and someone decides, like, you know, in a Judge Judy scenario, how much money I get, they are across how much things cost.
Yeah. it's like, Your Honor, I feel like at the end of the day, though, a Judge Judy type would say to you, it's like, yeah, I took a cheating tax off, dude. Let's not forget why we're here.
Yeah, you kind of still did the wrong thing here.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, based on posters and stuff that people have put up and survey that they've collected and data or whatever, someone has found out, scientists I'm assuming, have found out what the best motivator for the gym is.
Oh.
Now, they have tried things like money, which I'm guessing means like it'll lead to money.
I think what that probably also means is what a lot of people tell themselves. Oh, I certainly tell myself on a regular basis that if I sign up for this new thing, the money will compel me to go because I'll be so mad I'm wasting it.
That is what they mean, yeah.
It was a class-based gym that I signed up for last year, $700 and no attendance later, I can tell you, did not motivate
me.
In fact, just made me very angry myself.
Money was on the lower scale of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is stuff like, so it goes money, then stuff like physical appearance. Obviously, that's a pretty big motivator, the wanting to look better.
Also, I think that's it for a lot of people, yeah.
Then the second biggest motivator is illness. So, like, staving off illness, keeping healthy.
I think that's probably the logical reason to go to the gym. That coupled with a bit of the aesthetic stuff. And, you probably got most people who go to the gym go for those reasons.
The biggest motivator that they found, though, is death. The ultimate motivator, some will say.
So, outrunning death.
Outrunning death.
Treadmill.
I guess, I guess it's like being healthy, but to a more extreme extent. So, I guess they were putting up things like posters up around going like, hey, you'll feel better. You'll breathe better if you're working out. And then another photo that was like, you'll die if you don't work out. Yeah. And people were like, that's good motivation for me.
A K on the step machine a day keeps the Grim Reaper away. Maybe maybe posters like that. I don't know. But that's really interesting. So having to make the stakes that high before people are like, let's go to the gym.
Does show you where we're all at and what kind of things motivate us.
You know, the funniest thing too is for me, and this is what really worries me about you, because you've not set foot in a gym in a couple of years, I don't think. Are you still paying for a gym membership, by the way?
No.
Okay, very good. I was going to say. That's
I don't think I ever did.
It was very exciting when you signed up, and I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No, good. Okay, so well, you'd know. You'd check your bank again.
I'm trying to do at least a free towel if I've been paying it for 3 years and haven't gone.
Oh, God, no. Those towels are $15 each. I probably would say that this potentially will work the opposite way for you. I think it would actually just allow you to be even lazier.
Death.
Well, yeah. And because the only reason I say that is, you ever like have that joke with everyone like, oh, like when you're super sick and you're carrying on, you're being all dramatic, like, oh, I'm dying.
Yeah.
And then somebody loves chirping up and going, we all are.
Yeah.
We all are.
We're all dying.
Slowly, but we all are.
I say that pretty often, to be honest.
So you'll hear death is a possible reason to not go to the gym. And you'll be like, that's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
We all are.
Yeah.
It'll just give you more permission to be lazy.
That is very true.
There's nothing I can do to change the march of time, so why go to the gym?
I guess, because if someone was like to me, hey, you're going to die, I'd be like, why would I spend any of my time at a gym then?
100%. This is what I said. This is not going to be a motivator for you, so I just need to keep calling you spaghetti arms, and we'll just see how we go from there. Yeah.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, the Hemsworths are our royal family, I feel like.
Yes.
They're the upper echelon, and it also, they're upper echelon in an Australian way. Like, it's not like they live atop the highest tower of Melbourne.
Mm.
The Hemsworths live just like out in the bush.
In Byron Bay. He does live in a shopping centre, but at the same time, I feel like that's kind of an Aussie thing too. Like, if I got given $80 million, I would build a house exactly like Chris Hemsworth.
Go a bit over the top, go so extravagant, because that's it. It's like, there also is parts of the house that like, skate parks and parts of it that open up in a quad bike.
He's being rich to me in the way I'd like to see him be rich.
Exactly right. So we all love the Hemsworths, all the brothers as well. I feel like Luke and Liam don't get their comeuppance as much as they should, but they're good dudes. They're good actors.
I do enjoy Luke in Westworld, and I hate that show.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
I mean, it's amazing to me that he transcends a terrible, terrible lot of writing.
Now, someone who's made news recently is a dude named an actor who is British named Will Poulter. Who, if you don't know, some people insensitively refer to him as the eyebrows kid.
Yeah.
He looks a little like Sid from Toy Story.
Yes.
And I know that's also mean to say, but he also dressed up like Sid for Halloween once. So he also knows that. He is in Black Mirror, and he's in like Where the Millers and stuff.
Yep.
There's a photo that's been taken of him recently because he's got announced he's playing a character in the MCU. There's a photo of him that, honestly, credit where credit's due. It's hit Twitter, and it looks like a lot like Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, wow.
More than you would probably think. Now, people are going, there's no way that this guy looks this much like all of these three brothers and isn't related to them. So maybe somewhere along the lines, he's a distant cousin. Maybe he's like a nephew. Maybe he's someone's long lost whatever. People are like, we've got to figure it out. We've got to track it down. Family tree, whatever. You know how I know that Will Poulter isn't related to Chris Hemsworth at all?
Yes.
Because we know everyone who's related to the Hemsworths.
Yes.
If you're related
to
the Hemsworth, essentially you've been born into gold.
Yes.
You're like, the world's different from me. I know that Chris Hemsworth has a cousin named Taylor who doesn't do anything, but I know that. I know he has a cousin named Taylor.
Yeah.
If you are a second half, twice removed cousin from Liam's wife's brother, you bring that up to people of, hey, I was once related to
You bring it up to Hollywood agents if possible, because there's money to be made. So what are we doing?
Exactly. Especially if you're an actor. No one is sleeping on the free kick that is being a Hemsworth.
Is it on this? I'll just click on this article here and have a bit of a look.
At how much he looks like him? How much is, I can see it in the reflection.
Oh, no, he was definitely born in Victoria. There's no doubt to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he is very British.
This guy's Australian. He was born in Phillip Island.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. He's born on the Mornington Peninsula. There is no doubt in my mind about that. He's Chris Hemsworth's son. He might even be his son.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Josh, maternity leave and paternity leave are very, very good things.
Love them.
It's fantastic. I don't know if my mum took time off. I don't think. I think my dad was.
She did. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure she took some time off because at one point she also had twins. Yeah, so yeah. I'm assuming she wasn't like, well, stitch me up and I'll send me back out there.
No, I'm pretty sure that there was some time off taken. Yeah, I don't think. I don't know if my dad took any time off. Actually, I will say that.
I know my dad essentially. Well, I'm not actually. I won't speak about his business. Anyway, he was the one that looked after us the most because my mum was a pathologist. Yes. So he was like, well,
you're a breadwinning family.
Absolutely.
And so your dad did a lot of
I don't know why I made it sound so weird. My dad was a carpenter and my mum was a pathologist. So my dad was like, makes more sense for me to stop
working. Makes more sense for me to look after the kids.
Yeah. Let's not live off a carpenter's salary when we have twins and a kid. Yes. All right. Good. What is being proposed, and I don't think it's a good idea, and it's in a sort of, even to say it's in the same vein as maternity leave and paternity leave is insulting, but it's phrased the same way.
Is this really being considered what you're about to say, or is this kind of like a...
It's being considered, it's being floated by some business, because this is the thing. If you just get a business to say they'll do it, then other businesses can just say, yeah, we're also doing it.
For Walmart to just bring in the 4-day work week because they're a big enough company that if they did it, others would follow, and then we're all just doing a 4-day work week.
If Coles, Woolies, and, I don't know, Aldi all decided, you know what,
Aldi, just Coles and Woolies.
Okay, if they decided
No insult to Aldi, but if you had the two, you had Coles and Woolies, Australia would be on a 4-day work week very quickly.
Incredible.
Unfortunately, supermarkets are open 7 days a week, so it doesn't really work.
They're not even open 5 days, so it doesn't make any sense. But here is the thing that's being suggested. Paternity leave, where when you get a puppy, you get to take time off and spend time at home with the pup.
You're right. This will make parents angry.
This is so insulting if you've ever had a child or had to look after a child or ever had to stay home. Leave.
Yeah. Puppies do tear apart a house, though. Yep. That is a thing you have to remember when you get a puppy. They're adorable, but you're essentially anything not elevated, you can say goodbye to it.
But
potentially.
Puppies... puppies pop out of the womb and essentially are good to go, though.
Yeah, they're puppies.
They're naughty, but they're good to go. It's like a giraffe. It falls 5 feet, and then it's walking.
40 minutes later, it's walking.
Exactly right. Babies, however, if you leave them alone for 5 seconds, bad stuff can happen. So the poor paternity leave makes zero sense. And also, I'm always in my life, not even as insurmountable. You couldn't even measure how little it is away from getting a puppy at all times. I want to go to the RSPCA every single day and go, that one, you know what? Not that one, this one, that one. All of them. They're all coming with me.
Did you stump yourself then because you were trying to say a comparison to a bee's anatomy?
Yes.
That's right.
I
saw your face. How do I say a bee's without saying a bee's?
Yeah. You just experienced me
in real time. I don't know what to say.
You experienced Radio Ned versus Real Ned, and Real Ned locked in that analogy, and Radio Ned had no backup.
You know what's so funny, though? You are so close to always getting a puppy, and I feel like if you knew you could get time off from work, you'd be getting a puppy every 2 days.
I'd run the hotel for dogs.
The thing is, like, there's never a chance of anybody taking any kind of paternal leave. There's never any chance of anyone gaming that system, because at the end of it, you still have to have a kid.
You have a kid for 18
years. But having a puppy, you can be like, I gave a puppy to my auntie. Yeah. Okay, but everyone in your family will have a puppy and you won't work a day in a year.
You haven't been to work in 5 years.
It's start your own
500 dogs.
I now run a puppy adoption business. That's what I run.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Have you seen that clip of Pitbull who's like, he's talking about
Pitbull or Pitbull?
No, well, this is the thing. Yeah. It's about the Pitbull, like the one where we potentially might play if you vote for it. He was like kind of flexing, going like, talking about grinding, always working. Hard and stuff, and he's like, got to the point where now when you Google the Pitbull, I come up before the dog, and everyone's like, oh,
that's a pretty cool flex.
Man, flexes on us. It's if you spell it the way he spells it, Pitbull the dog is Pit Space Bull. His name is Pitbull, one word. So the reason
I'll be full transparency. I didn't realize you spelled Pitbull without a space.
Yeah, well, this is it.
With a space.
Pitbull, the dog with a space, is the dog.
Every time I talk about Pitbull as a dog, I still don't put a space. So I've learned something.
Because look, I'm typing Pitbull. Yeah, look, there he is. He's come up. But if I type Pitbull the way you meant to spell the dog, not one photo of him. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I get what you're saying, and it's cool that you do come up on Google, but. It's on a technicality. It's like I come up before Ned Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
If you spell Ned Brewer and type where I lived and was born and my parents' names.
You're still probably going to get a couple of Ned Kelly photos. But anyway,
that's true.
Ned, a new sport that is taking over the planet a little bit here is, well, no, I'm talking this hyperbole. It could take over. It should take over. I hope it takes over the planet because
there's always room for new sports.
Could potentially be Olympic level at this is there is actually now an official World Cup of balloon keepy uppy.
Oh,
so basically what it is,
keep ups.
You know how when you just tap a balloon, you can't let it hit the floor, all that sort of stuff. That is now a sport where people are wearing helmets and playing it. It's played on arenas that are set up to look like lounge rooms. So there's couches, coffee tables you can trip over. In one of them, there's a car. So I guess that's meant to be like a garage lounge room type situation. There's an arcade machine in one of them. There's Thunderdome lighting like it's WWE or something. This is literally a sport now. It is, and there are countries versing each other. They've got their teams ready to go.
Yeah.
The game of keeping a balloon off the ground for the longest.
I'm here for these new sports that are popping up, like your tags. I don't know if you've ever seen competitive tag. Oh, it is the most intense looking thing. You're essentially just in a big arena and you've got, like you said, a bunch of obstacles where you can climb up and climb down. You just have to avoid getting tagged.
Mm.
Same as like The Floor is Lava.
Yes,
Netflix made that show.
That was
where
a great show.
I'm all for these sports because I'm not good at quote unquote real sports.
Yes.
The sports in which I could play and dominate against my sisters in when we were all like kids.
Yes.
I'm great at all those sports.
Yeah. Balloon keepy uppy, I was very good at it because it's you, and I'm very good, by the way, at the drama of it. Like letting it get real close to the ground.
The suspense.
My sister would be like, no. You get really close to the ground, then just tap, and then it was up.
You're
showing it. Yep. Yeah, you want to have a bit of pizzazz to your balloon keepy uppy.
Exactly.
So that's why I'm saying I could probably do pretty well at this.
I'd also, I think, and I would love the addition to, in these new weird sports that we're entering into, Piggy in the Middle I'd be quite good at.
I don't even remember that.
You know when someone shorter would stand in the middle and you would throw a ball to one another and there was the person in the middle would have to try and catch.
Right, yes.
I'd be great at Piggy in the Middle as a competitive sport.
I'm
6 foot.
I'm starting to really get Squid Game vibes from all of this now.
Yeah, that's true.
The game of balloon keepy uppy wouldn't be good for Squid Game because they'd shoot people so the bullet would go through the balloon. That's never going to be on season 2 of Squid Game.
Of course, yeah.
But this could potentially be something we do here. And if anybody out there is thinking of starting up a league, you got to play here. Yeah. You got a participant right here.
Also, Marco Polo would be a good one. I know you had a pool as a kid. You're good at Marco Polo? Fish out of water stuff?
I had a pool for a little while as a kid, and so no. But I did have a pool, like wrestling league, where I thought it was like WWE in the pool.
Harder to get that
off
the ground.
Just like trying to drown people. Yeah. So that's not actually a good idea. Let's not do that, okay?
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
If you or someone in your family has been injured at work, visit meja.com.au.
Hit 104.7.